Dick Vitale. He was down the room, and the guy does more radio interviews and more talking than anybody, and I just had a chance to just sit here and listen through the walls for a little while. He now joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Dick, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill. I'm down in beautiful, sunny Florida. A little chilly down here today. Everybody's complaining. It's only a mere 65.
Oh, yeah. What we would do for 65.
I know.
Yeah. So tell me, because you got a book out. It's the Mount Rushmore of college basketball. And you started compiling this. I would assume it's the Rolodex within your mind, and then you start kind of making some notes on it. But you have seen the best of the best, the most incredible moments, the highest of highs in the sport that you absolutely positively love. So how hard was it to compile the Mount Rushmore of the best?
Well, you know, I had a great crew with me as well. I don't know if you know Hoops Weiss. Dick Weiss is a college hoops fanatic. He's an outstanding Hall of Fame writer as well. And along with Howie Schwab, research expert, we sat down and we knocked our brains out. And the one thing, Bill, we don't expect people to all agree, obviously. It's just a subjective feeling, and that's the beauty of it all. But I think the one thing the book does when we get great reviews is the fact that it takes you down memory lane. It brings you back to the days of thinking about some of the great teams. You think about Dean Smith's teams with Michael Jordan, Ralph Sampson, Virginia. You go down and you think about some of the great players that have played, Christian Leitner's and the Patrick Ewing's. And that's what we tried to do. And we got in the book the four best coaches, four best point guards, four best scoring guards, four best coaches in March, all different categories. And I think the people will like it. And the biggest thing I like, Bill, is that every dollar from the sale of the book that I would make is going for kids battling cancer. And to me, there's nothing more important than trying to help kids at this stage of my life. Very proud that we have Bo Ryan one year. We honored at one of my galas. He's one of the guys. We've raised now, my gala, $25.3 million so far for kids. And we hope to do another $4 million this year. So we're honoring Dabo Sweeney, Chris Fowler, Avery Johnson, Holly Rowe, and Lee Corso. We'll sell out over 900 people. We're hoping to get Guard with us to join us as well this year.
That is awesome. It's just it's great that you can capitalize in that particular way and take your name and put it behind an incredibly worthy cause. Dick, I got to ask you, because when I'm starting to read the book, what in your mind makes a great college basketball coach? Because you go beyond just wins and losses.
Well, you know, I think when you think about a coach, it's number one, you got to define the ability to get the most out of your people. I think that is the key. I think great coaches, Bill, you've been around the game, you've been at a pro level with the Packers as well. You understand that the great coaches have the ability to hide liabilities that players possess, but they capitalize on the strengths they possess and be able to get the most out of them. I mean, there are some great coaches that don't win, like guys who win big, because maybe they don't have the resources. You know, it's not an equal field when you talk about the collegiate level in a way. I mean, I remember one time vividly, John Calipari. He was coaching Massachusetts. And he comes up to me at a Final Four, and I mean, he was upset. So I heard you the other day, Dickie V, talk about the five greatest coaches, the unbelievable Rolls-Royce superstar coaches. He said, come on, man, give me a break. He said, and you should know better because you coached at the University of Detroit where your phone budget wasn't as big as Michigan's, but your budget wasn't as big as Michigan's phone budget. And I was stunned, you know, when he said that, and I could see him being upset, and I said, you know what? I thought about that when I walked away. And I said, how true that is, because it's not fair. I mean, certain guys, you know, it comes down, when you talk about college basketball, recruiting, you got to get players. Mm-hmm. Without players, you don't win. But then you got to handle the egos of those players. And that's what separated the John Woodens, the Mike Krzyzewskis, the big-time winners, the ability to get the players who was number one option all through high school going to be a number four option. So there's certain criteria you look at a coach. I think, though, it comes down to the ability to get the most out of your talent.
And then there's the talent portion of it. You start going through the best of the point guards, shooting guards, forwards, centers. You know, for what you've had a chance to see, you know, there's been so many standout players. I would not even begin to know how to separate. Obviously, there's some truly great that you can go right to the top of the list. And after that, there is so much good talent that you've had a chance to witness over the years.
Oh, my God. You got it so right. That's it. It's the fun of it. You know, I all started this when I grew up as a kid in New Jersey. My mom and dad, They had a fifth grade education. They had a doctor to love. And each of them had nine brothers and sisters. And on Sunday, my mother would make breakfast and have all the bagels and the donuts and the coffee and the juice out. And a lot of my uncles, after Mass, I would go to church. After Mass, would come over to the house. And they would come over, and the debates would start. They were fanatical. I mean, absolute, just super, super sports fans. And the debates would start, living in New Jersey, right near the Washington Bridge, basically 20 minutes away. And, I think my Uncle Tom would scream, "Are you kidding me? I think Duke Snyder's the best center fielder of all. Come on, man, number four, the Dodgers." And my Uncle Mike would scream, "God, Tom, you don't know anything. Are you kidding me? He can't hold the Mick shoes. Mickey Mantle is the best." And then my other uncle would scream, "Take those two guys. Give me a break. They can't play with the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays." And then my father would jump in, and he would say, "Take all those guys. Forget about it." He said, "The only guy in the Hall of Fame who never made a great catch because he was always waiting for the ball was the Yankee Clipper, Joe DiMaggio." And I would jump in, and I'd have so much fun doing that. And that's what this is about. I don't expect. I picked the four best coaches, right? Krzyzewski, Knight, and certainly Dean Smith. I think those three are automatic. And I had people the other day going crazy, Bill, on Twitter. Ripping me left and right about how could that guy, he must be getting senile. How could he have the top four coaches and not have John Wooden? Well, if they read the front of the book, and I put up a tweet, if you would learn to read and look at the front of the book, it tells you specifically right there, It's my 40 years. John Wooden did not coach in my 40 right. years.
Yeah. No, I get it. And that's what I read that as well. And I thought, because I saw Roy Williams there, and I said, and I was thinking the exact same thing. And then I went back and read it. And looked at exactly what you were saying. So, no, hey, look, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. You're doing it by what you've actually witnessed, and that's what I like about it. And Dick, it's a tremendous book. So when you talk about all the great moments, and is there a great – and this was one question I had a listener ask you, because I think it's legitimate. Out of all the great moments, is there one kid or coach that you've seen that wasn't the greatest but had one of the most memorable moments that you think – that's what this sport is all about?
Well, my friend, we've had so many great, great guys. I think about, for example, Rolly Massimino pitched
yes.
that perfect game against Georgetown. Was incredible. So, I mean, Georgetown, heavy favorites, second half, they hardly missed any shots, and to see the joy and the jubilation. What about my buddy Jimmy V?
Right.
I mean, nobody gave them a check. That moment was always special to me because at the press conference, that was the first game I was ever assigned by ESPN to go to and to work. And that was in 1983. Network started in 79. So I go there in 83, and there I am sitting at the press conference after the national title next to Jimmy's father, Rocco. And he was like, unbelievable. Jimmy was just had the media in the palm of his hand, one-liners flying. And Rocco leaned over to me. He says, "Bob, that's my boy." I can see how proud he was of that moment. And those are things I'll remember all my life. You know, Wisconsin, I'm going to remember all my life, Bill. All my life. Because the first game I ever did in the history, and it was the first game in the history of ESPN in terms of major college basketball, on December 5, 1979, I walked into Chicago for DePaul versus Wisconsin. Was Bill Cofield. He had the great player Matthews, whose son now plays in the NBA. And it was against the number one team, DePaul, with Aguirre, and certainly Ray Myers on a sideline. And that was my day where I thought, to be honest with you, I'd be there for maybe 3 weeks to be back coaching on a collegiate level. 40 years later, 40 years. I can't believe it. I pitched myself. I was telling Rick Pitino earlier today, I was on a podcast with him. I said, I can't believe this is 40 years. Not only is it 40 years, I'm going to have Tuesday night, I'm getting inducted into the National Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and it'll be a special, special moment for me up in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it so special is that I've never considered myself, you're a broadcaster. Guys I work with, the play-by-play guys, they're broadcasters. They know how to get in and out. I'm just a jock, man. Somebody gave me a microphone and said, talk about the game you love. I'm getting in with guys like Bob Costas and Jim Nance and Mary Carrillo, those are broadcasters. They're journalists. They understand all that. Me, what am I? I give an opinion. You may like it, you may not like it, but I have an opinion. I have a lot of fun. And all I know is some people want to try it because it's worked. I'm in 14 Hall of Fames, and I can't run, jump, shoot, and I got a body by Linguini.
Hey, Dick, I'm going to give you one memory and see if you remember this. I'm talking about the exact same Final Four because I've been to plenty of them, but I'll never forget it. It involved Wisconsin, but if Wisconsin had gotten knocked out, Michigan State and Florida. Michigan State was struggling a little bit, and I'll never forget this, and I said it changed the tide of that game because Wisconsin fans never left. If you remember, it was that quadrant inside that dome, and you had half green on one side and half red still on the other. And the smartest thing I thought was what Michigan State ever did was at halftime coming out, instead of playing their fight song, they played On Wisconsin. And Wisconsin fans went crazy. And from that point on, the energy, the momentum, everything shifted. Because remember, the North Carolina fans had left. So it was just a small quadrant of Florida fans. And that entire side of the place went Big Ten and went crazy. And to this day, I will say Wisconsin fans were responsible for Tom Izzo winning that championship.
Wow, you better make sure that Tom knows that. I'll tell you what, I did not know that. That's a great, great story.
That was fantastic. It gives me goosebumps to this day.
Wow. On Wisconsin, give a lot of people some goosebumps.
Dick, it's a great book. I appreciate you joining us. It's called Dick Vitale's Mount Rushmore of College Basketball. It's a great read. It's great pictures. It's great stories. And more so, it would make a great stocking stuffer. Throw it under the tree. Any basketball fan in your life, you got to get this thing. Dick Vitale's Mount Rushmore of College Basketball. Dick, it is always a pleasure to chat with you. I'm glad you're doing better, my friend. Last time we were supposed to talk, I know you were a little under the weather, but I'm glad you're back. You're feeling good. And congratulations on being inducted
really
in the Hall of Fame.
And one thing I want to make sure they know is every dollar I would make is going for kids battling cancer. Through the Beef Foundation. They can get an autographed copy if they like of my book. Just go to DickVitaleOnline.com. They can also get the book at Amazon.com. But at DickVitaleOnline.com, they'll get an autographed copy. And it's really doing well, so I'm really excited. But most of all, I am excited because I want to help kids battle cancer. That's my number one goal now to my last breath.
Dick, it is always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. You stay well, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Who's got the Packers job? You would know.
You know what? I don't know. But I tell you what, with your energy, we keep talking about the team coming out flat. With your energy, I'd give you the energy portion of it and then find you to get somebody to do the X's and O's.
All right, buddy. Got to get a T.O., baby.
All right, baby. Talk to you soon. There you go. Dick Vitale joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. They've been doing it 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That is 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.